It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide. Coming off the turn number 2, they get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Inside Florida.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's right. You're listening to Inside Florida Racing with Carol Wicks.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm Bonehead, Rob Elting. We are one short of a little hillbilly in overalls.
Oh, we got another Bonehead, Jack Smith, sitting here.
Yes.
Now be nice.
Jack Smith.
I was.
I got my voice back. You're in trouble.
I know. Jack. I never lost mine, so you're in trouble, too.
Jack's let his hair down, blown in the breeze here, 8 stories in the air in the Karnak Tower.
It's white, too, isn't it?
Well, is that what you call it? Oh, man, what a week of racing. I'm sure a lot more tracks got racing in this week than last.
We got some
good people on the show. Yeah, I want you to introduce those people.
We got some really good people. Rick Bristol, race director of Orlando Speed World.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lee Collins, tall, dark, handsome, open wheel modified driver.
And alligator hunter.
And alligator hunter and father of new baby.
Really?
I could relate to that.
Yes,
coming soon.
That's cool.
Don Ream, the president of TBARA. Liz Guadagno, the owner of North Florida Speedway, and Mike Crooks. That's going to be a surprise.
Gene Crane. He's going to tell us
Crane,
all about
the announcer at Lakeland, yes.
Well, the second leg of the Florida Triple Crown's coming up this weekend at Lakeland USA International Speedway. 100 and or 200 laps of super late model racing, and Bonehead ain't going to be there because his car ain't fast enough.
And no, Carolhead ain't going
right
to be there either because I got to go.
It don't have the right body on it.
I got to go to a daggone wedding. How do you like that?
What's the date of that thing?
August 4th.
August 4th.
This Saturday.
What? Yeah, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah,
I'll be August
cool,
11th. I'll be racing.
It's going to be hot, and it's going to be hot. Last, I think it was the year before last. I forget, maybe it was the year before that. But when this race, this particular race that they always have in the summer. Well, it was really cool because Bane Skinner won the race,
right.
Got out of the race car.
He looked
12 colors of green. They were putting the mic up to interview him, and I was putting my little mic up to get a copy of it, and he started to throw up right on the mic.
Man. Carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, he was hot, man. It was incredible.
I gave him a nice cold bottle of water.
Brutal hot. That's right. You did.
I can make him smile every time I see him.
Did you bring him too?
It was brutal hot.
I gave him the last one I had.
Give him a couple slaps.
Watch it. Fane's a good guy.
Well,
what do you think about people getting married on Saturdays? Ugh, I'm so angry.
Ask me what I think about people getting married.
No, I don't
That's
think
That's a whole nother show, a whole nother topic, another time.
Yeah, well, a couple of little things here, too. One, our good friend John Barker, who was... as people know, is a writer for the Lakeland Ledger for years and years and years, and who I affectionately call the old codger, is getting over a rather traumatic episode at the hospital with heart surgery. And he's back at home recuperating, and we wish John the best. He's a very knowledgeable media guy who I turn to frequently, and we talk a lot. Rick Day has a new gig. I tried to coerce him and twist his arm to coming back to Florida just to stir up the pot a little bit. But Rick is now the race director at the new Corpus Christi track out in Corpus Christi, Texas,
oh.
And which is being reorganized. And next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday, the new promoter, owner of that track, who is a lady, and I don't have her name right here to hand, but she is going to be on our Real Racing USA live show on Tuesday night. The following week. And there's also, on the front page of Karnak.com, I put a post on the message board about this, but on the front page of Karnak.com, there is an advertisement or a little graphic for the Racing Network. And this is a new network. I spoke to the president of this company this afternoon, and this is a network that's non-NASCAR racing network that is expected, hoped to premiere in January of 2008, and possibly on the Dish Channel. Those details are still pending. But it's some people who have affiliations with Speed and other major networks have created a new network. What they need is they need racers' support, motorsports fans' support, so that they can convince companies such as the Dish Network to get on with this deal, okay? And if you go to that little link there right on the front page of Karnak.com, the Racing Network, click on that link. There's a little survey. It's only a one-button survey. All you got to do is click the button. Tell them that you would consider changing your service or picking up the service that they go to in order to support a network that has racing 24 hours a day, that's not the big guns you see on ESPN and Speed, but the little guys like the Hooters Pro Cup, the ASA, you know, other traveling series, 24 hours a day racing all over the internet. It's the Racing Network. We're going to have Joe on tomorrow night, too. His name is Liberatore. He's the president of this company, and he's going to be on the Real Racing USA live tomorrow night along with Buzzy Ruderman. So.
Well, you know what you can tell him? Tell him that Bonehead will do some advertising for him on the side of the race car.
Well, I know that.
All I need is a couple tires.
I know that will be a deal maker right there, yeah. Or a deal breaker, sure.
And Rick Day, sorry you're not coming back, but wish you the best of luck. I love Corpus Christi. It's nice down there.
Yeah, Rick Day and Rick Bristol, who's fixing to be on here.
We got a Rick night.
It came from the same place, Sunshine Speedway. That's where I remember both of those guys walking around doing different jobs back in the day.
We're going to cover some of that Sunshine Speedway stuff a little bit later. That was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way cool. There it is. The Racing Network. There it is. Called the Motorsport.
TRN.
TRN, yeah. Open wheel, drag racing, rally, GT, touring car, bike racing, karting, vintage, rally cross, stock car racing, endurance, off-road dirt, you name it.
What's that guy's name?
Joe Liberatore.
Joe, if you're listening, please. I'll put TRN. And I'll even buy Dish Network. Is that what you said it was going to be on, Dish Network?
Well, that's one of the possibilities right now. I don't think that's cast in stone, but I could be wrong. We're
going to
find out tomorrow night on Real Racing USA Live.
I'll kick Comcast right out the door. First race in 24 hours. You know, that's what Speed was supposed to be, but it just didn't quite pan out.
We talked about that. Well, that was because, in their defense, that was exactly what they should have done because, you know, they got to go where they ratings go, and you know that, and mm-hmm. That's where the ratings win, is where they are. That's where the big ratings are. So what these guys did is they came up with a different plan that, okay, maybe that one show by itself, you know, a Hooters Pro Cup show by itself isn't that big of a deal. But when you take all of those motorsports events like I was listing there, and you put them all together in a package, now you got something.
You know, and what? And listen to this, Jack. I think you might agree. You know Sunshine Network, right?
They show
local racing. That's like the only channel that's ever really used to come on. They used to even show some races at Sunshine. They tried that. Now, what would be cool is if these guys kind of got with Sunshine, because Sunshine Network's still showing some local-type racing on there, and they kind of put their deal together and made it solid instead of two of them trying to do it. You know, that's, I think two of them together might be able to get it done. That's all.
Yeah.
I hope they do get it done. I like it.
Did you watch the race yesterday?
What race yesterday? The open wheel IndyCar race?
No, I'm sorry. I am talking about NASCAR.
Yeah, and you know what?
My boy showed him how the cow ate the cabbage.
He was wore out afterwards because he couldn't even climb up that fence.
Well, did you see the shape of that? You're full of baloney. He wasn't wore out.
Yeah, I heard what he said to all the media people out there. If you think it's tough, you don't want to think I wasn't man enough for not climbing up or something, come try it. You can see that it kind of kicks back the other way. But he did do it before. I remember he about killed himself.
And
last
he got
time.
In trouble for saying the SH word.
That's right. He got it right at the end. I bet
now, tell me, out of those 250,000 people, is there one of them that have not heard the SHI word?
You know what the problem is, though?
What?
Is that poor Junior did the same thing, said it was fun.
That's right.
Oh, it was fun as S. Okay. And they got him the 100 points. I think it was 100 points they took from. If they take 100 points from Smoke, where's that going to put him in the top 12? Is he still going to be in the top 12?
Yes.
I hope so.
He's going to win more races.
Well,
too.
I'll tell you what, that might have been exciting, but there wasn't anything more exciting I've done in the last several years than attend that little event up in Pinellas Park, Florida.
Me either. And look who just walked in.
1,500 race fans came out, and Jason Beckner, Racing Jason, was not there. But there was 1,500 other ones.
Really? 1,500
people? Racing Jason is here.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, we have a guy on the phone right now, Rick Bristol, who can vouch, and his word is good. Trust me.
All right, put him on. I'm ready to talk
He's
to
on.
Rick. Rick, are you there?
Hey, Rick. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
Hey, Rick, what's going on, bud?
How you doing down there?
Everything's going good. This is Rob Elting talking to you here. I haven't talked to you.
The bonehead.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you in a long time.
The other bonehead.
We went deep into the barrel to get our host for this deal, man.
Now, listen, if there's anybody that can vouch for Bonehead and my driving experience and how long I've been doing it, this is one man that can probably do it. He used to announce. He was an announcer, Jason. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he was a great announcer there at Sunshine Speedway back in the day. And, done many things since then. You know, one of my favorite things that you took over was that Sarah deal, and we're going to talk about all that here. Jason had to step out for a second. He just stepped back in. I want to get him in here and get him involved with this. So how you been doing, Rick?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really well.
Tell us about it. What are you doing?
Hey, Rick, tell us about your give us your impressions of the monster event up at in the Quaker Steak and Lube.
He was all over the place.
You know, I had a feeling it was going to be big, but I don't think any of us anticipated how big it was going to be. I was absolutely amazed at the amount of people that was there, and it just shows you what a great speedway it was, and how many people were affected by it closing, really. And then people just, you know, they go on, and some of them found other places to race, but then there's some of them that, you know, don't really have any place to go anymore, and but what a great night. I mean, the place was just packed, and people were just having such a great time. Just listening to some of the old stories was worth it all.
I saw a couple of guys that used to race in the Outlaw figure eights, and, man, I would give anything if they could build that up again. That was the most fun racing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I've seen the pro figure eights run there, and then, of course, they ran the street stock figure eights for a long, long time while I was there, and always good racing. The street stocks always put on a good show. The Bonehead was always one of the ones that put on a show in the old street stock.
Yeah, I was I was trying to explain to Carol who Red Van was. She doesn't know Red Van.
She doesn't know Red Van.
No, she doesn't know Red Van.
Red is notorious for being one of the probably most aggressive figure eight drivers around, and one who is not afraid to put it in the intersection, no doubt about that. But also in street stock racing, did a great job, and then of course went on into modifieds, and he's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's one day maybe I'll have him on the show. It'd be funny to listen to him on the show. It's been years. I think that he is still trying to race, you know. But they've got this street stock thing going. Gary has this street stock class going, outlaw street stocks that are using, you know, the old Sunshine street stocks, putting automatic transmissions in them. So it's been really nice to see them back out there. And I actually saw Raymond Van out there racing a few weeks ago when they were out there. But you know, the racing, Sunshine Speedway definitely had a lot of racing that went on there. I've tried to explain to people what it was like to come to race street stocks, and there's 45 cars there for a 24 car field. Explain that a little bit, Rick.
Well, it was that way every week, and you had to, you know, you had to run the heat races and the B main and try to make it into the main event, and a lot of guys went home, you know, and didn't get to run. Of course, then some of them would run in the figure eights and that type of thing. But man, that's why I say I don't think pound for pound, week for week, there's no class that put on a better show than the street stock. So it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree.
The street stock, Gary, the outlaw street stocks right now that Gary has put together, I mean, they're right now becoming a major crowd favorite, just like, you know, some of your bomber classes and stuff. I mean, there's a big following for him right now.
Well, and Gary's no dummy. You know, hey, Rick, how about it? They put up $1,000 to win to run those street stocks. Remember how many people would show up for a 50-lapper for $500 to win?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, just look at how many showed up for a regular week.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a shame that the track did close down, even though everybody knows my feelings for the Hill family and what, you know, some of the things that they imposed on me that caused me not to race there, and a lot of other drivers, too. But that's all personal reasons. But the track itself should have never closed, should have been not sold to anybody except somebody that would have kept it open.
Let me tell you something. I met 1,500 of the finest people on this planet.
Don't really know all of them.
I know a lot of them. 1,500 people drinking, not an argument, not a fight, not an incident. It was just nothing plain fun.
I'll tell you something.
That's because I wasn't there.
You had to be there to grip this, but there was a point where, Rick told me he did, Rick Andrews, he told me he did the same thing. There was a point there where, like Rick Bristol just said, nobody really anticipated how big this was going to be, and we didn't know, and you always, like, wonder. There was a point where it was a little overwhelming. We had to go up and take walks, you know, just to clear our heads, you know. But I tell you, one of the coolest things there was John Sapricone came down,
really
hung out the whole night, and handed out 300 free passes to DeSoto Super Speedway, and I thought that was and he was very cool. I thought that was a very cool thing.
Very generous.
Well, you know, he knows that every one of those people are going
to
eat some food.
To do.
What's that, Rick?
I said that's a smart thing for him to do as a race promoter. I mean, that's promoting your racetrack. I mean, that's what you need to do. Now, I don't agree with everything John's done, but I get along with John. But for him to come over there and give those away and give people an opportunity to come race, there's some of those people that maybe just never have taken the chance to go over there. And, you know, it's the track where most of the guys have gone to race, you know, since they left there. And so I think it, you know, was a smart thing. And, again, he came and enjoyed the evening. I think he has a respect for racing, at least to understand that Sunshine was a great speedway and had a lot of great races and racing every week. So it was a smart thing for him to come by there.
Well, I passed out about 100 of them, and those people were really appreciative.
Can I say something?
No.
No.
Come on.
I want to talk to Rick
Did he give out 300 of them, really?
Yes.
Well, he only thought 300 people were going to be there because he'd have given out 1,500 if he'd have thought 1,500 were going
to
be there.
This is the Rick Bristol
moment.
He's
a promoter.
And I would like to ask you about this. You got me all mixed up now. The charity thing you're doing with the truck race. Tell us about that, please.
It's the second annual Charity Truckers 200. We're doing it in Orlando in December. And last year we did the event and learned a lot while doing it. And we set up, we helped the family. Last year, the Hopkins family with Tommy was a 10-year-old boy with leukemia, and we helped the family and raised $6,500 for them. And, you know, Tommy's going to be coming back with us this year with his family to update us on how he's doing, and he's doing very well. He's going to be going back to school, and he's excited about that. And so he's doing very well. And so this year we're helping the Helmick family. And Bob Helmick is a former promoter up in Indiana, and you know, he's one of us. He's a racer, and his little girl is going to be basically when the event rolls around about 11 months old and 12 months old, something like that. It should be a little over a year. Excuse me, because she was born in September of last year. So, and in her first 3 months, she stayed in the hospital. She had 2 open heart surgeries, 5 heart catheters, and a lung surgery, all within her first 3 months of life. And she has a rare heart disease. And, you know, right now she's doing well. She's been able to go home, and she's been doing very well. They have to go back and do another heart catheter coming up, I believe he told me, in October. and that's going to tell them a little bit more about what the disease is doing to her heart and if it's getting stronger or any of that. They have lost their home, and they have had to file bankruptcy, and they're fighting off creditors, trying to keep up with medical bills, and it's just kind of an overwhelming time for them. So we're doing it this year for their family, and again, I did it last year, learned a lot. We've gained a lot of things this year, and I think it's really going to be huge this year. We brought in, added to the show just a little bit this year, and then on Friday night when we qualify a truck, we also added a state championship race for kids, and all the kids' truckers will be running in a state championship event on Saturday night. So they're going to qualify just like big boys. Friday night we'll qualify the pro trucks and the kids, and then we're going to run two 25-lap antique car, the Dara, the Daytona Antique Racing Association guys are going to be there, and they're going to run a couple races, and we got a 40-lap mini cup race, and then we're going to have a 30-lap $500 winner-take-all strictly stock, which ought to be quite entertaining, and then we're going to have some barbecue and music in the pits after that's over, and then on Saturday night's the big stuff. We're going to run 35 laps for the kids for their state championship, and then we're going to have a 30-lap Legends car race, and then we'll have the 200-lap truck race, which right now is featuring drivers entered in it. It's David Starr from the NASCAR Craft and Truck Series. He's going to be entered, and we possibly could have up to four or five more guys. We're just waiting to get all the final answers.
I was going to ask you about that. That was pretty cool. How did it come about you got a hold of him?
Well, last year David Starr was there and David Rudeman. And we're expecting David Rudeman to be back. We just have not been able to get the final yes yet because he's got a lot of things that are up in the air and going on too. So, but we're waiting. He's going to let me know just as soon as he possibly can, 100%, but we're expecting he'll be back. So they came last year, signed autographs out front and stuff, but David Starr, when he, you know, as he was leaving, you know, he says, man, he says, I'd like to turn some laps here. And so when he came back down in February to come for Speed Week, I was going to get him over there and get him some laps, but the schedules just never worked out. So when I called him this year to ask him if he wanted to come, he says, Rick, count me in, but I want to race. So we got him a truck. Danny Anderson out of Tampa is going to let him use one of his trucks, and so he'll be in the event. He's really excited about it, and he just loves it. And he's a great guy. You know, just a David Rudeman, first class guy, and David Starr last year were great. And we're expecting both of them back. There's a possibility we could have David Starr's teammate, which is an old friend of ours from the go-kart children's home days, Rick Crawford. We're hoping to get him. Haven't got the final on him. And then there's a couple of tough guys that are up in the air. We're trying to get a final answer. We're trying to work on it. And as I said, Mr. Helmick was a promoter out in Indiana, so he knows some of those Indiana boys, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's a good deal that you got going on there. That's pretty cool that David's coming back to do it. Sounds like he was touched by it. What date is that race going to be going on again?
December 14th and 15th. We had to move it back 1 week this year because last year we were the weekend before the PRI show, and then they moved their show up a week. So we're moved to the 14th and 15th. And now last year it was really cold on the weekend we raced, and it was warm on their weekend. So I'm hoping that weather stays like that.
that would be cool.
Well, you know, if they back out on you and they don't show up, you can always call me, Rick. I'd be glad to come over there and wheel that thing
around. That's a reasonable second place choice.
Well, you're certainly invited, sir. We're inviting everybody to come and just have a good time. Everybody's seasons are over, and I wanted to do it then, so you take a little bit of risk with the cold weather. But you know what? We did it last year, and it was pretty cold on Friday. It was a little bit better on Saturday, but if the kid can battle leukemia and this baby can fight for her life, we can stand a little bit of cold weather.
Well, see, the advertisement can use is like it might be cold, but it's always colder up north.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
At least it's warm enough to race.
I think we'll take. I think last year we got down that it was about 46, 44, so we can live with that. You know, it's so cold, but we can live with that. But it's a great event, and it's turned into the largest short track truck race in the country, and it's becoming more prestigious. And I'm hoping by having these guys get into the event, and these guys, all these truck guys in Florida, get to race against some of the best. I think it's a really cool deal. So I know a lot of guys are excited. I've got a lot of phone calls. We've already got five free entries this year, way ahead of last year. We've sold several of the sponsorships this year. We're ahead of that. We're still selling laps. We got a lot of laps still that we got to sell, but You know, this year I changed it around. Last year it was $10 a lap. And this year it's $20, but $10 goes directly to the family.
Well,
so if we sell all 200 laps, it's $2,000 automatically right there to the family. And the other money is in lap money, and a lot of guys donated that back last year. So, you know, that's going to help out a lot. So we're still selling those. I think I've sold 33 or 34. We've still got a ways to go on those. So those are available. We've got a few awards left. I just got a check today for a couple of those. So got just some awards left. I've still got some things to cover as far as sponsorship. But I've got two opportunities for the main title sponsor that I'm working with right now, and if I can get that, it's going to allow us to almost have paid everything completely before we ever start. So everything that we take when we come into the gate goes directly to the family. I think that's going to be huge.
Well, Rick, I'm sorry. We're going to have to take a break here, but I got to tell you one thing. The world of racing is a lot better place because of people like you. You do wonderful things for people, and I thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us.
Well, I appreciate that, and we'll kind of update everybody. Once we get these names, I'll make sure you guys all know about them first so you guys can, you know, get them announced out there for us. But we're going to need all the help we can just getting people to the racetrack. I don't have a large budget to spend on advertising, and TV is expensive around here, you know, radio and all that. But we're going to do our best to come up with some of that. But if we can get a couple of these Cup guys, we'll get a lot better help from the local media. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, we'll be calling you to have you back on again. Thank you so much, Rick, for being on the show tonight. And
hey,
good
Thank
luck
you.
With whatever you do.
Take it
All
easy,
right, Rob,
Rick.
Take care of you, old bonehead.
All right, man.
Thanks, Rick.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Too cool, man. What a great deal he's got going on there, man. Especially, it sounds like it's going to be real big this year. Going to take a break right now. Got to play some Bills. We'll be right back. It's Inside Florida Racing.
With Lee Collins.
So it's time to move up to five-star race car bodies. Five-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, five-star has one driving passion, to help you win. Five-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today, fivestarbodies.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
It's like a bunch of robots out there, and everything's just programmed. You might as well go watch wrestling, you know? And I think that's the reason some people are coming back to short track racing are getting a little sick of it. I'm a big NASCAR fan, trust me, you know?
Welcome back to Inside Florida Racing. Good Monday evening to you. It is myself, Racing Jason Beckner.
Carol Wicks.
And the Bonehead.
See, I don't know what to call you sometimes. I don't know whether to call you Rob.
I don't care what you call me.
Or Bonehead. Or
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what? That I did want to say something, though, to all the folks who are listening there. There is times that Jason doesn't wear overalls.
It's usually on Mondays. It's usually my shorts and flip-flops.
He is wearing shorts.
He's hiding today.
Incognito. So
I can't even call him the hillbilly in here today.
It's funny, man.
Hillbillies wear camouflage.
From all my years, being in radio with Clear Channel and Cat Country and everything, and working up at the track and everything else, and wearing the overalls for so long, you would be so surprised. I cannot go through a day whenever I have my overalls on with somebody going, I know you.
Yeah,
and that's from here to Bradenton.
That's your gimmick. That's your gimmick, man.
I swear, it is so funny. I was at Chuck E. Cheese in Bradenton, and this guy walks up to me, and he goes, you look really familiar to me. I just had to come over and say something. I said, I get that a lot. He says, you ever go to the races down in Punta Gorda? And I went, yeah, that's where I work.
I'm the guy walking around with a microphone. But that's pretty cool. I like it. I like the whole get up, you know. Speaking of the races the other night, we haven't said anything about it. I was waiting for you to get on here.
Nah, I ain't going to say nothing about it. This is in...
No, the races were good. At Charlotte the other night. I actually watched like a fan. That's what I was going to say. And
yeah.
I was going to say that I don't get to do that very often. I sat right down in the front. And I want to say that I enjoyed listening to you on the microphone doing your schmeal that you do there. It's like a, I don't know. I don't get a chance to listen to it.
Carol,
obviously,
interrupt this copy clash.
I'm giving Jason some props. You know, that's what he does.
That.
You know, and people probably don't tell him often enough.
Before the year is over, Bobby.
I would
Deal's
like
to
introduce
bigger
Mr. Don
office.
Ream, who is the president of TBARA.
Wing Sprints.
Hey, Don, how's it going?
Very good. How are you guys tonight?
Doing good.
Great. We're all right. How you doing?
I'm fine.
The man that keeps the Wing Devils corralled up and under control.
What a show you guys put on.
And, Don, I called Wendy tonight, but she's real busy getting ready for that big race you guys are going to have at New Smyrna this coming Saturday.
So okay.
We've rescheduled her for next week.
Oh, great.
Thank you for the info.
Right.
Hey,
I'm
Don.
Glad it worked out.
With that whole ordeal that went on down there at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, I have to give you guys an attaboy for, you know, your guys' safety crew, the girls that come with you guys and everything. You guys handled that whole situation with class. I mean, when it happened, my heart just went to my feet. That was probably one of the most vicious crashes I've ever seen, even with a wing sprint car.
Well, it was very serious. There's no two ways about it. And the people at the racetrack, your safety people, should be commended for the approach that they had to the whole situation. They didn't do anything drastic or out of hand or anything else. They took their time and just went slow and on the side of safety, you know what I'm saying? And they did an outstanding job. I was there most of the time with them, and they are to be commended.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate that. And, if it wasn't for your set of rules and the emphasis that you guys put on safety, too, I mean, that could have been a lot worse situation. So kudos to you guys. I mean, you guys got a very stringent set of safety rules, and it was nice to see Wendy follow them. She has the whole suit, the nine yards, I mean, the Hans device, everything.
I
think that's something that a lot of track owners, promoters, and touring series people really need to look at.
She said something very interesting to me tonight because I was kind of concerned about the fence over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Wendy said that if that fence had been any stronger, it would have catapulted her back on the track and it would have been a worse mess. But the fence slowed her down enough that she stopped right there.
Right. I mean, I think that you can look at those kind of situations and if some whats and buts, you know, you always try to second guess or think what could have happened or what didn't happen. And We were just fortunate, like we talked about before, that there was no one standing where she ended up, because that could have been really serious.
There's
but other than that,
they're still standing there. You can't get them out of there.
What's the correct thing? You know, whether the fence been better and she wouldn't have got over in there and come back out on the racetrack.
Well, anyway, I think the fence did its job.
Fence did its job. She's people got to realize that this is racing that we're doing out here every week, and racing is dangerous.
I want to talk about Don Rehm as president of TBARA.
Well, yeah, because there's so many what ifs in that situation. Don, you guys got a big race coming up, and you know, I've watched you at the races before. You're a busy man. You've got a lot of fires to put out during the night.
Well, I have some very good help, so I'm not a. That's what makes the TBARA so good, is that it's a one-man band or something of that nature. It, to be as good as it is, it takes a lot of people and a lot of help from a lot of people to make it what it is today. And we've certainly come a long ways, and that's the only reason that we have, is we have all the help that we have with the program. Have all the people that do the lineups and the scoring of the lineups and stuff like that, and then the people that go every week and support and push, and all these people do all of this for free. That's the most amazing part of this whole organization. There's only two people in the whole organization that receive any pay, and that's the race director, tech inspector, and the flagman. Everybody else does it for free. So,
how did you get involved in TBARA?
I'm sorry?
How did you get personally involved with TBARA? I understand you're the president.
Well, I was nothing more than the supplier of parts and fuels and tires for the series for a number of years. And all of a sudden, it was, well, you go to all the races. You're at every race. Why don't you become president? And at that time, the organization was a lot smaller, and a lot of things were a lot different at that time. The times were different, and they were struggling to get people to take it and do something with it. So I accepted the position, and that's about 13 years ago.
So you've been involved for 13 years, right, Don?
As the president.
As the president. How long have you been involved with them as, you know, a parts supplier, fuel supplier, stuff like that? How many years?
Oh, I would say probably, maybe another 10 years before that.
So you've really seen the TBARA just manifest and grow into what it is today. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, I mean, TBARA is, the way I look at it, I think every promoter in the state, every promoter, I think, in the United States needs to look at what you guys have put together, because you guys are a top-notch program. You bring everything to the table. You lay it all out. This is how it is. You guys come in. You put on a show. And I don't think, I think maybe one time, I mean, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I saw maybe one hiccup, but it wasn't nothing major. We just had too many caution flags. Some drivers ran out of fuel, stuff like that. But you guys are on the ball, Don.
Well, again, you know, you learn from all your mistakes, and we probably made every goofy mistake that could possibly made over the years to get to where we're at. You just keep improving, and you learn from your mistakes, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and you try not to make the same mistakes over and over again. And in most cases, we've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. This last year or two, we've been contacted by some organizations out of state to find out how our starting procedure and our handicapping system works. And some other series have showed an interest in doing what we do. We do something that's pretty unique in the way we make the lineups. It's not a pill draw, and it's based on the four-race average, your last four races that you've run with a TBARA in a given year, and then it's divided by four, and if you haven't run four, it's divided by whatever number you have run, and that's your point average, and then it's determined by how many cars are at the racetrack, and whoever is the highest of those cars will start last in the first heat race, and the heat races are built backwards that way, and then they must run in the top four in their heat races to get their starting position in the feature. And if you're the high point car for that night at the racetrack, you start 12th in the feature, and you build the feature backwards or forward from the top 12 cars that finished in the heat races. So it makes for a good show. Sometimes you have racers that don't like that, because if you run consistent and you run good all the time, you start in the back all the time. But if you're running good and you start in the back, we have them win from 12th, 13th. So there's no reason that this can't be done. So, I mean, it just makes a good show, and we're trying to entertain the people in the grandstand.
I got a good show. This is a good show. When are you guys going to run at Lakeland Speedway?
probably never.
No, I know, but you're going to be racing almost at Lakeland Speedway. You're going to be racing at New Smyrna, right?
Right.
Well, they got to go just as fast there as they would at Lakeland, I'm sure.
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Compared to when you're at Charlotte, they're going to go. How fast do they go when they go to New Smyrna?
They're running somewhere around 120 to 130 mile an hour at the end of the straightaways.
Oof.
That's cooking. That's cooking.
That's all in the mail.
You know, where are you from, Don?
Where am I from originally?
Yeah.
Well, I've been in Florida since I was 4 years old, and before that I was born in Ohio.
Yeah, so you're a Florida boy pretty much. How'd you get your bug for this sprint car racing?
Well, I raced before I was able to drive on the street myself.
Right.
I raced cars that had motorcycle motors in them. They were called micro midgets, and then I raced sportsman cars and sprint cars and things of that nature at Golden Gate. So.
Right, so you're from Tampa originally, basically? Is that where you live?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, me too. Me too. 41 years. Well, I've lived here for three, so Port Charlotte. But no, that's great. You know, I'm glad that you have the TBARA, because I enjoy it. I can't get enough. 35 laps is never enough for me when I'm watching those things, son. Let me tell you.
Right.
Well, Don has an answer to that then. Don, you have an event coming up later in the year that's right up Bonehead's Alley.
Exactly.
Tell me about it, Don. Tell
me. He just needs to go to DeSoto on September the 29th. We're going to run the first annual Frank Riddle Memorial Race, and it's going to be 50 laps.
Beautiful.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, now, are they going to be able to supply enough fuel to go the full 50 laps, or are they going to have to stop?
They can go 50.
I don't intend to stop.
They can go 50. I've seen them go 50 before. It wouldn't be the first time. But it's, you know.
The problem is if you have a lot of yellow.
Right. And where's that going to be?
Once again, DeSoto. We differ from late model racing. We do not count yellow.
Right.
So when we tell you that we're going to race 30 laps, you're going to see 30 green flag laps, or you're going to see 35, or
amen.
In this particular case, you're going to see 50 green flag laps.
All right. Well, you're coming from a guy that runs 100 green flag late model laps every time we race there in Charlotte County, so I can appreciate that. Hey, that brings the real drivers out, is what it does.
Don, what's your website?
TBARA.com.
TBARA.com.
Read all about it.
Yeah, folks, go there. Check it out. If you haven't ever seen, you know, if you're listening to us out here and you haven't ever seen the TBARA Sprints run, if you've never seen the David Steele show in person, you need to come see it.
Don, we need to take a break here, and we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much, and we'll be getting back with you and some TBARA people real soon.
Okay, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Don.
You're welcome, Don, and thank you for the TBARA.
Oh, yeah.
Again, thank every one of you for your support.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Have a great evening.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, sir. That is one group I cannot get enough of.
Me either, man. I really love it.
They are the most awesome.
You know, I have never really been a big sprint car type fan. I've always enjoyed my stock car racing, bombers, my street stocks, my sportsmen, stuff like that, like the late models. But, man, wing sprint cars on a small track going 110-plus miles an hour is something else. I mean,
they have the vortex. They can make the vortex.
They can. They literally. I mean,
none of us
on
can
humid,
make the vortex.
On a humid night, you can see the mist coming off the wings. It's a 3/8, you know, running a 3/8 mile track. The driver's in there trying to get the car ready, trying to go around there 110 miles an hour, messing with the wing and everything else. I mean, they are on the ball.
There's another on the ball. Speaking of on the ball, you know, this guy is so cool. He drives a number 89. Everybody knows him driving a number 89. The last two numbers of his phone number are 89. Go figure.
Oh, my gosh. I know who you're talking about.
Mr. Lee Collins.
Guess what the last two numbers of my cell phone are?
Lee, welcome
27.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing, man.
How you doing, man?
Hi, Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Congratulations. I hear you have a beautiful little boy.
Yep, I got he's just turned 7 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness. Life has changed for you.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been doing with racing? I haven't seen you around for a while.
No, I mean, I've run a few of the traveling races. I haven't, you know, I missed the one race at Bradenton. And at the beginning of the year, I didn't get a chance to run any of the races ahead at Charlotte County because, you know, my expected son. And, you know, I've been taking a little time off, you know, getting ready for him.
Well, you have to do that. You have to set priorities. But we sure miss seeing you out there.
I'm hoping here at the end of the year we're going to, you know, finish the year out strong. We're going to start running wherever we can find a race at.
Now that you've had the baby, it doesn't slow down. It just gets a little bit faster and a little bit more stressful.
It's a boy, correct?
You got to plan everything a little more.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I'm glad you're on tonight, Lee. It's kind of, I watched you. Well, I grew up watching you race. I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess at it. I mean, you started out, I remember watching you race Charlotte County years and years and years ago, probably in what they call the Road Warrior class now or the Pure Stock class, the Outlaw Pure Stocks, moved up to Sportsman and all through there. Is that where you first started racing?
Yeah, so I started at Charlotte County in the Pure Stock division.
I've
been there for just, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and then I moved up to the limited late models down there. That's my home track. That's where I broke ground at.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, I watched you down there beating fenders off with the Gillises and Larry Ballard and Dave Beckner and all them guys down there.
Beckner? Who's that?
Beckner?
That's my dad.
Oh, is that where this is going? Lee Collins, did you used to put it on his dad all the time? Is that what this is going?
We never had Lee's a great driver. Lee is one of them people that had the natural talent, and it was funny that you mentioned that because you weren't in the pure stock class very long. You did move up. I just have to say you're probably one of the few drivers out there that are just naturally gifted to be able to jump into something and just really catch on to it real quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why are the car counts getting so low in the open wheel mods? Man, that is the most exciting racing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the modifieds, you know, the beginning of the year they kind of got, you know, I know a lot of the guys I raced with the little motors, you know, they didn't go to Bradenton beginning of the year because they couldn't compete against the big motors when you go to Lakeland, New Smyrna, and you know, I've been trying to tell on their own not to give up on us, because I think if they keep the series split up like it is now, I think the car counts will come back up next year.
I hope so, and I hope you guys will be talking about coming down to Charlotte County Speedway again. Gosh.
Yeah, I'm just hoping. I've been keeping my eye out trying to find out when they're going to, you know, have a modified race, because I sure want to come back here and race, because I enjoy that racetrack.
There's a lot of people waiting for you there.
Oh, yeah. I know one for sure that's looking looking for me.
Who's that? Come on, we can mention names here. It's all right. Who's
Lynn.
Yeah.
You, when you mention your name, her face lights up like a Christmas tree. That's your best fan anywhere.
Oh yeah, she follows me everywhere she can, you know. And I've really missed seeing her this year because we've only raced a couple of races at DeSoto, and I missed all of them at Charlotte County, so I haven't got to see her this year.
Well, I know she's looking forward to that.
Lee, how did you get drawn to the racing scene? I mean, were you a fan before, or did somebody get you into it, or did you just decide you were going to go and jump in a car and have some fun?
No, actually, what I did, me and my wife went to DeSoto Speedway. We was coming back from Tampa or somewhere, and we stopped by there, and that was when I seen the number 89 Pure Stock. It won the race that night, won the championship. And I went 2 days later and bought the car and was at Charlotte County the following week.
And who
never,
was...
Never watched stock car racing or nothing. I just went. That was the first time I ever been.
I remember the car. I'm just trying to remember who originally owned it.
Mark Johnson is the one that owned it. Yep. Mike Meeks drove it at DeSoto.
You know, I had this interesting thing happen. I've done a lot of interviews of drivers in Florida racing. And one night I was doing an interview with... Lee Collins, and I'd wrapped up the interview pretty much and turned the recorder off, and then I asked him, what did you do before you got involved in stock car racing? And 40 minutes later, I had one of the best stories I have ever heard. What did you do before you were in stock car racing, Lee?
I was a gator hunter. I hunted gators about 6 months out of the year.
You got all your fingers?
Oh, yeah. We did pretty good at it.
Yeah, I, Lee, this is Bonehead. I remember watching you race modifieds quite a bit, you know, in your modified racing days. And when you used to get in that car and take off, you used to run pretty good. But now Lee is somebody that knows who Red Van is, probably. You used to race against Red Van?
Oh, yeah. I raced against him quite a bit.
Yeah, now, you know, she talked about, Carol did, about the car counts and modifieds, and you're one that I would consider one of the modified drivers that I'd want to talk to if I was going to get a bunch of them together and I was going to say, okay, let's try to figure out some rules for you goofballs to run by. Now, don't take that personally. What I mean is that you know you don't mind abiding by whatever rule they want to come up with, but there are several other ones out there that have a problem with, you know, trying to abide by some kind of rule. When you started racing modifieds, what kind of motor rule did they have then?
When I first started, they basically had an open motor rule. I mean, they had the claimer rule on it.
Right.
You know, which I never was a big fan of.
I was going to say, you probably didn't like that very much because you were probably one of the guys that was putting a pretty decent motor in your car, which there's nothing wrong with that. If it was up to Lee Collins, okay, to make the decision on what to do with the engine motor package in the modified to make it more equal, where you guys have 40 guys showing up, because if you guys would show up with even 25 or 30, you know these other promoters would pay you well to come race at their track. What would Lee Collins put in that thing to make it even?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know, I've always told Don Derone, everybody, I said, you know, there ain't no doubt something needs to be done with the motors, but the right way to do it, where you don't make a lot of people mad, you know, that's like this new crate thing that they're running in a lot of series. We run Orlando here, but 2 weeks ago with the open motors, and one of the crate motors finished third to all the big motors, you know, so maybe that's the answer, but, you know,
so
I don't really know, you know, you don't want to make everybody mad that's got, you know, it's like me. I mean, I got two big motors and two little motors. If you go to the crate motor, you know, them four motors are basically junk.
So what do you think about a weight rule?
The real answer is.
A weight rule maybe with the different motor packages could bring them maybe more equal, you think?
What was that now?
A weight rule. You know, a weight rule to go along with the motors. The guy that runs a smaller motor gets to weigh less, you know, 5 pounds per cubic inch, something, you know.
That works, but, you know, then again, the people that's only got big motors, then they're mad because they got to put weight on their car. You know, that's what I said. I mean, I don't know the real answer for it. I mean, you know, because I know a lot of the big motors won't even come race because they get, you know, because Don and them tried to even make it less. Because, see, last year we had to put 250 pounds to run the big motor with the little motors. And he tried to change it where it was only like 160.
How did you guys run? How did you guys run when you put that weight on there against the other motors?
If, you know, I don't know at Lakeland, I don't think they're, I don't think you could put enough weight on them to compare them.
Not at Lakeland. Any track but Lakeland. How about, let's say, you know, Orlando, Bradenton. Well, Bradenton obviously is not going to race, but you're talking about Don Nerone classes. So, you know, yeah. Orlando, New Smyrna.
Yeah, I mean, New Smyrna would be another one. I mean,
well,
the weight I don't think would hurt you because, you know, you're okay. It's so fast and you got to stop the car anyway. But, you know, where it hurts you is like when you go to Bradenton. I mean, I've went there with the big motor without the weight, and, I mean, you do good to still run with the little motors there. And then you put 200 pounds of lead on them, it kills them modified. So it's just, you know, it's a hard thing. I mean, I don't know the right answer for it.
Yeah, it just seems to me like, you know, the problem that comes, the major problem with the big motors, the little motors, are coming at the larger tracks. Because if you put them on the smaller tracks, I mean, you guys are still running, what, the 10-inch tires? You're running 8-inch tires.
8-inch tires, yeah.
So, you know, you put the big motors on a small track with the little motors on a small track, you can only go so fast.
Like at Charlotte, if all you guys came to Charlotte, run what you brung. It's going to be a good race there because of the small tires and the big motor ain't going to work.
Speaking of which, Charlotte County Motorsports Park is running modifieds this coming Saturday night, August 4th.
We are.
This Saturday? They're competing against Lakeland because I'm going to Lakeland this weekend.
That's
well, he's trying to do is he's trying to get even some of these local guys that, you know, there's a lot of guys that have modifieds that know they're not going to go to Lakeland because they're going to get blown out. So there's plenty of other guys that could be racing in that. But it is a shame because you would probably like to come, and I'm going to make sure Bobby keeps that in mind to try to work with some of that. But I would like to see Charlotte County. I think that will sort of finish out this thing. You know, he's got great late model races going. He's got great sprint car races going. He's got great local tracks going. If he could get this modified thing going, I'd be a happy bonehead.
I'm sure that Lee Collins will not disagree with this. You know, since I've been going to stock car racing in Florida, I don't think outside of, like, the stuff that happens on dirt up at East Bay, outside of that, I don't think there's any more exciting racing for the fans. And I'm not talking about the hardcore fans that going to bitch and moan and complain about whatever you do, but just the regular people who come out four or five times a year to the stock car racing facilities. I don't think there's anything more exciting. TBRA maybe, you know, but when you put 25 open wheel modifieds on the racetrack with them big loud motors and screaming and them tires touching, it's exciting, man. Are you kidding me?
That's why Sunshine did so well in their day, since we were talking about Sunshine earlier, because every Saturday night they ran late models, they ran modifieds, sometimes they ran a sportsman class too, figure eights. You know, street stocks, and they're mini stocks. So I miss you guys racing those modifieds.
What do you think, Lee? Is it exciting being in that car?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I moved up to super late model for 3 years. I just, you know, it's fun, but nothing like it modifies. I mean, there's nothing more fun looking up there and watching them front tires bounce up and down. And, you know, I love modifieds.
Yeah, and the thing is, it is a driver's class. That right there puts all the driving in the driver's hands, because they're running on the small tires. They, you know, you're not getting all that horsepower to the ground because of the smaller tires. And, you know, I can remember with Lee, Turner, McLean, all them guys. Now, I mean, they would, like you said, 24, 25 plus cars on a small track. I mean, just, you know, the announcer going, everybody get off your trailers so we can see the race.
Yeah, so Lee, you'll be at Lakeland coming up this weekend. You're going to go race.
Yeah, we'll be there. Hopefully, we're going to be there early Friday because we've got practice Friday night.
All right, yeah, that's going to be a hot, wild weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I got my black car running pretty good. So
I was
going to
ask you,
good weekend.
still had a black car. I was going to ask you if he still had a black car.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while down this way. So,
who you figure is going to be your toughest competition up there this weekend?
Probably, I would say, I can't even think of his name, the 32.
32.
Albert McCafferty and Jerry Simons.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of them. I don't know if Tank Tucker or any of them from New Smyrna is coming over or not, but I know Jerry and McCafferty is always real tough at Lakeland.
Yeah, so is Simons. You're right.
Yeah.
Who's some of your sponsors right now, Lee, been helping you out?
What was that?
Who's some of your sponsors right now that's been helping you out for a while?
My sponsors?
Yeah, who's been helping you out on the car and everything?
I don't have no sponsors. It's just me and my wife and College Disposal, my garbage, my company I work for.
I don't need no, Lee don't need no stinking
no,
sponsors.
Don't.
just go get it done.
All right, Lee, I need some advice. I need some advice, Lee. This is Bonehead. I'm fixing to have a baby boy in October. Okay, now I've gotten all kinds of advice from the hillbilly over here because he's just had one.
Run
so,
fast.
So you're racing. Are you still? Am I still going to be able to mess with my race car and deal with the kid and everything? Is it going to work out?
This one I had now, he's making it tough on us because he's totally opposite of my first son. I mean, he wants attention all the time, and when his eyes is open, he's screaming. So it makes it a lot tougher.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about having this son. So I'm excited for you that you're back racing again. You know, I want to see you race. I haven't seen you race in a while. And when you get a chance to come down to Charlotte County Speedway, make it down to Charlotte County Motorsports Park and check it out. I think you're going to like what you see.
Yeah, I'm anxious to go. I mean, like I said, I missed a few of the races at the beginning of the year, but I'm ready to get back at it now.
Yeah, well, it might be cool down there, but ain't nothing like the speeds they get this weekend up at USA International Speedway.
That's true. I'm jealous.
What do you guys
race there in New Smyrna's? I love both of them racetracks.
I mean, you're running the big motor up there. What are you guys usually carrying down into the corner?
If I had to guess, probably 160 going off in the corner.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, for real.
Holy
man.
Holy moly.
For real. For real.
I don't think I could do that. I'd have a heart attack before I got to the corner.
it's like
driving a Cadillac at Lakeland. Tell him, man. Lakeland's the easiest place that you drive.
Yeah.
It is. It makes it a little hairy in the modifieds when you go under the flagstand. It feels like a front end comes off the ground.
I always tell people, Lakeland's like driving a Cadillac, no problem with it. Until the car gets sideways and turned around.
Yeah, what about on those restarts at Lakeland, man, when you get everybody fighting for turn one?
Oh, yeah.
Restarts, what about the starts? Are they still that bad?
What was that now?
The starts, are they still that bad with the modifieds? I remember back in the day at Lakeland, they'd pile them up on the first lap.
Yeah, I mean, it makes them, you know, they've made it a little easier now because they won't let you can't pass to the inside till you get past the start finish. But I know Lakeland used to be real bad because everybody tried to jump you on the start and drive under you down straightaway.
But yeah,
they've kind of held that to bay now.
Well, I am having a terrible, terrible weekend because I'm not going to get to see you race up there. I got to go to a wedding. Isn't that awful?
You know what? Yeah. I'd skip the wedding.
I can't. It's my grandson. Otherwise, I would. Lee, it's been a pleasure talking to you again. I'm so happy you came on the show. Good luck with the new baby, and good luck at USA Speedway this weekend.
Yeah, win. Just go there and win, Lee. That's all it's about. Just win. Have a good time.
I'm hoping to. I need one. It's been a while.
Well, you take care, and thank you so much again for being on the show. We'll get back to you during the year.
All right, anytime.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Hey, thanks a lot, Lee. Take care, bud.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It's cool. Lee Collins, 2005 Pete Orr Sportsmanship Award winner.
Number 89 open wheel modified.
Good guy.
I tell you what, man, he is a wheel man.
Yeah,
he
no doubt.
He is a wheel man. I've seen him do some stuff with some cars. He did that? I mean, It was pretty cool watching him run that open wheel modified years ago when they had that claimer rule. Because I tell you what, you go to any track when they had that claimer rule, I know the guys didn't like it.
He would show up with
28 to 30 cars showing up to race.
And he had a $10,000 motor in his car when he'd show up to that.
And Lee will be at Lakeland this weekend, and we're going to go to break here, I guess, now. And when we come back, We're going to find out all about what's happening at Lakeland from Gene Crane.
Cool.
The expert on that track.
All right. Good.
The expert. So he's the mouth of the South there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Going to take a break. Going to pay some bills. We'll be right back with Inside Florida Racing.
No wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Good Monday evening to you. It is a Monday evening. I almost said Sunday.
Yep. Monday.
Phones ring. It's Domino's. There's a Dave Rudiman commercial for you.
Yeah, we need to get Domino's to start paying us a little bit.
Good Monday evening to you. Sitting right here to my left, the very beautiful Miss Carol Wicks.
And to my right. Sitting to my left, the very...
Hang on just a second, guys. Gene, do we have you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good, because I lost you, and then we got you back. That's good.
Yeah, I'm not lost anymore.
All right, Gene Crane.
Gene Crane, announcer at Lakeland Speedway. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Well, thank you, Carol.
USA International Speedway.
Well, exactly. There you go.
How long have you been the announcer?
Where we're at.
How long have you been the announcer there?
Oh, let's see, 96.
Wow.
Man. Yep.
So, you've been there for a while.
Hey, how was Erie, PA this past weekend, man?
Beautiful. We were concerned about weather, but weather was not an issue. Had a pretty good race. Benny Gordon was pretty dominant throughout the night, but some good battles back in the pack, and Gordon's closed in to within 63 points of Gary St. Amant with one race to go.
And right you should have been concerned about the weather. Remember I told you I used to live up there? It's called Dreary Erie for a reason.
Well, I've been surprised with just about every type of weather up there before.
It is a place.
Floridian, jumped on the airplane, went up there in shorts, didn't take a jacket, and it was like 50 degrees.
All right,
we're going to fix that problem.
Gene,
where'd
you get your start in your racing career as an announcer?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm originally from Daytona. I was born and raised in Daytona and been around racing all my life. A lot of different things as I was growing up, had some connections, and always loved stock car racing. Bought a car when I was 15, ran dirt over at Volusia until I ran out of money. Was running there and New Smyrna, or trying to run, let's put it that way, and got out of it. Was helping Scotty Bramlett with his limited late model over at Volusia back in 92, and they'd opened up the new dirt track. Actually, it was an asphalt track over there, 3/8 mile there at Volusia, and during speed week, and they needed an announcer, and I had been to the track about 15 minutes, and guys came over and said, hey, we need some help. Next thing I know, I had a microphone in my hand, and off I went.
Well, you're going to be using that microphone this weekend at Lakeland. What do you got going on there? It's a big weekend.
Well, actually, I won't be at Lakeland. I'll be in Hickory. I've got a Hooters Pro Cup race at Hickory, North Carolina, so I'll be up there. Larry Jewett will be at USA International Speedway, and this weekend, Catch 47 presents the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, which is the 9th annual Florida State Late Model Championship. This is for the fast car, Sunoco Sunbelt Super Late Model Series type cars. So we've got 200 laps of racing, and as has been a tradition at USA International Speedway, the winner is going to get a special championship ring from Midas Jewelers. We've got some exciting things there, and you've been talking to Lee Collins. You know all about the Extreme Open with a modified. They're going to be there for 75 laps as well.
So you also announced for the Hooters Cup Series then?
Yes, I do.
How long have you been doing that with them?
10 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, that's that whole series right there has gone through some ups and downs. I mean, they got a big following right now, and going to Hickory.
It's been phenomenal. Every year we think, oh, I just can't get any better. The competition is maxed out. Competitors never cease to amaze us. They step up and really bring some class machinery in and really put on some good shows.
And they keep getting younger.
You didn't have to bring that part up.
Who else is racing besides the open wheels this weekend?
The Sunbelt Super Late Models. They'll be the feature event in the Ford State Late Model Championship.
Cool. About how many cars you got lined up, do you know?
I don't have a pre-entry from FastCar, but it's not normally something they provide. But I'm sure probably at least 30 cars will be there. I would hope so.
That's this weekend, right?
Pardon
yes.
me?
That's this weekend, right?
Yes. What's
this
the late weekend, model race? What's the late
Saturday
model race,
Saturday night, man? August 4th, we've got a practice session Friday night, which will be open to the public. So if folks are interested in checking out the facility, High Bank 3/4 mile, they make their way to I-4. We're at exit 38, adjacent to Interstate 4. Come on in. The grandstands will be open. Practice will go from 5 p.m. until 9:30, so plenty of time to get there, check it out. And then, of course, race time on Saturday is 7:30, but we always tell people to get there early because we've got qualifying at 3. We've got an autograph session. Get down on the track, take a look at the cars, talk to the drivers, maybe catch up with some old friends, and that takes place at 6 o'clock, and then we go racing at 7:30.
Who are some of the big names you already got lined up for coming in there this weekend?
Well, certainly would expect that Wayne Anderson would be here. This is the second race of the Guaranteed Concrete Porta Triple Crown Series, and Anderson won the first leg back in June. So looking to see what Anderson's going to be able to do as he's eyeing not only the late model championship but that Triple Crown. But you got a lot of folks. Fane Skinner was the 2005. Expect to see him. Just about any of the super late model guys from across the state, you can expect to see them. We get a few guys out of the Georgia area, depending on what the Georgia Asphalt Series has scheduled. No telling who will roll through the gate.
So you got my two favorite classes at one of my favorite tracks, and I can't go. Make it next week.
Oh, she's got a wedding. I told her I'd ditch the wedding and go to the races.
I can't believe people get married on Saturdays.
It's her grandson.
They both get married during the off season.
She needs to load the grandson and his new bride up as soon as they say their I do's and say you're going to have to put your little wedding trip on hold for a minute. We're going to go watch some racing. Okay.
There you go. Well, we're sorry you're not going to be able to make it, but certainly wish well to the newlywed.
Well, thank you. I'd like to smack her. I don't want to miss this race.
Well, you know what? We've got an opportunity where members of the armed forces won't have to miss this race as well. We're putting out a special opportunity for this race on Saturday night, August 4th, and the third race of the Triple Crown, which is Saturday night, September 1st. And what we're offering as an appreciation to the armed servicemen and women is an opportunity to get a half-price ticket, 50% off tickets to all active armed forces members. That's, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, and their immediate families. And that also applies to the reservists. All they have to do is have proper identification, and they're going to get a 50% discount when they purchase the tickets day of the event there at our ticket booth.
What is regular prices to get in?
Prices for this weekend are $30 front straightaway, $20 backstretch. Children 10 and under are $10.
Cool. Very family affordable right there, especially for a big race.
But we try to be. That's one of the focus. We want folks to be able to come to USA International Speedway and have the feel of a big track, but have the enjoyment and have the atmosphere of a small hometown track as well.
Well, Gene, we thank you so much for bringing us all the information about what's going on at the track at Lakeland USA Speedway this weekend. And I wish you all a wonderful weekend. And thank you again for joining us on Inside Florida Racing.
And Gene, just because Carol can't make it, Karnak and Real Racing USA will still be there in force to cover the race.
Yeah.
And to rub it in next week, right?
I know, salt in the wound.
I want to remind everybody, full schedule and all the information you need is at usaspeedway.com, where you can call the track at 1-800-327-5500. 984-7223 if you have any questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Gene. And like I said, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Have a good time in Hickory, bud.
I plan to. It's going to be hot, though.
Oh, yes, it will. I love that place up there. Have a good one, my friend.
Good night, Gene.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. That's cool, man.
It's you not know, cool. You know, well, I'm really not happy.
I know. You are so upset about that.
I love USA Speedway, and I love
until we started talking that he was also the announcer for Hooters. I didn't know that.
You didn't recognize the voice?
No, I recognized the voice, but it didn't click until just now. I mean,
it's a learning experience.
It is. It is a learning experience. I'm learning something new every Monday.
Yeah. I wish I had a little bit more racing funds to go race. I'd love to go race there again. I've raced there only three times. In my life.
Just wait till the baby comes along. When my first baby came along, I had to sell my race car.
Nah, I'm not going to have to sell it. At 40 years old, I'm ready to have it.
All them 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning feedings.
I heard a voice.
Well, you know, there's USA International Speedway, which is like it's the when it comes to big asphalt racetracks.
It's our late model racing Daytona Speedway.
Man. It's awesome. But then there's a little track up in North Florida.
The little track that could.
No, that's a different track. This is the track that can, does, do and it. Will. Dirt.
And will.
Dirt. North Florida Speedway.
So we must Hello. Have.
This huh? is this is me.
What was that?
This is where me and.
Go ahead.
I'm trying, but the bonehead. I'm sure that we're welcoming Liz. Liz, you online?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I finally got a hold of you.
Liz, for the entire racing community, do the guys here at Inside Florida Racing a favor and take them off the hook and pronounce your last name properly so they'll have it down.
It's Guadagno.
I knew there that.
Yeah.
Guadagno.
That person.
Liz Guadagno from North Florida Speedway. Did I say that right?
All right. Where is it at? Where's North Florida Speedway at?
North Florida.
Lake City, Florida.
Okay, so is this the track that we referred to in a couple shows ago?
Yes, it is. The one where me and you were supposed to go race on dirt.
Yeah, that's right. I thought that's where it's at. We've got some kind of challenge going on there. Do you know anything about that, Liz?
About what?
Here, let me finish. Liz, when Dave Brown was on.
Yeah.
He cooked up a scheme with these two guys from Inside Florida Racing to come up there and race in a grudge match on cars he was going to provide.
Well, I can definitely get Phil's modified in, and then I got a few other guys that'll be willing to give me up one of theirs. So there's another gentleman that works with us that's got a modified that would be willing. Are you guys okay with those?
You're going to get
absolutely.
It, Beckner. You're going to get it, hillbilly.
No. They're going to find out why he's called Bonehead, and they're going to know why this guy's called Bonehead. Why is that Bonehead riding around in the back all by himself? Oh.
Oh, my
God. It's fun.
It's fun. They should do is just go ahead and stick us in the main race with everybody and let us start in the back and see who finishes in front of each other.
Me and Bonehead have never ran dirt. We've ran asphalt, but we've never ran dirt.
Wow.
Yeah. That should be exciting, shouldn't
it? And everybody's telling you got to go run dirt at North Florida Speedway. So
absolutely.
Yep. So what do you got going on up there this weekend, Liz?
We're actually closed this weekend. We took a few weekends off during the summer, but we open next weekend, the 11th, and we are running our Hobby Pure Street Minis. We've got the B-Mods, which is the Claimer class,
right,
and then the late models.
Well, that sounds fantastic. You're closed for a few weeks. Now, how's that work for a racetrack? I've never heard of such a thing.
Especially in Florida.
It's okay because it kind of gives everyone a break, and you know, because you go for so long, and so we kind of, and it's the hottest time of the season, so that's why we give our employees some time, you know, family time, spend it with their family and the drivers to give them a chance if they want to go somewhere else and race, and or if they just want to take the week off, that's kind of why we did that.
I wish every track in the state of Florida would close down for July and August. Between the heat and the rain and never getting a chance to work on the cars and
How
work on the tracks.
How are they going to pay their bills?
Well, they just... well, by the time...
We
let's
go
see,
out and sell pencils during the week.
By do
the,
you, really?
By the time September comes, those stands are going to be packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope.
That's when the weather gets real comfortable.
Yes, I know.
Oh, yes.
That is perfect racing weather. A lot of people don't like going to the races when it's cold. I love going to the races when it's cold.
I just like going to the races, period. So, Liz, how'd you get wrapped up into racing?
My husband, Philip.
That's it? What, he didn't find you at the racetrack?
What started out is we went and watched. He's grown up with it. He grew up in upstate New York, and then here we went to Putnam East Bay, and then he met some guys, and then they talked him into buying the car, and then... Hey, there's this track for sale. What do you think? And I was like, but it turned out to be a great deal. It's fun.
He sounds like a great guy.
Let's go buy a track.
There's this track for sale. You want to buy it? Well, I don't know. My wife may not like it too much, but.
Well, I kind of worked in my favor, too. I was like, well, we can do this if I get this. And so.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd hate to see what the other side of that detail.
Man, Liz, I'm looking on your guys' website. You guys are taking another break in the action on the 17th and 18th. You got the monster trucks coming in.
Yes, yes, we have the monster trucks. We've got the BMX, the bike. The one night they're going to do a demolition derby Friday night. And then Saturday night we're going to incorporate our pure stock class with that and then a powder puff.
That's cool.
All right,
that's
so cool. Which one of these dates do we need to pick on here? One of these dates that says OWM on it?
Oh-ho.
Open wheel modified nights. We got to find us a night.
Whatever one you want, you just call and let me know, and we'll get you set up.
Are these Friday night or Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night racing. Well, I'll just have to find a different announcer for Saturday
night
and go up and
race. Gonna pick, we're going to pick a night. And the whole crew's going to come.
What are you
come.
Shaking
all
your head there over there for, Jack?
Yeah, you're going with
I
us when we go.
I think that's a great idea. Because one of the worst things to do, I try to tell track owners this, you know, it's like, get somebody, go watch another track race some Saturday night and forget about yours just once in a while.
Listen to another announcer.
I like it. That's the thing. I love listening to myself.
We're nice to each other.
What's that, Liz?
You guys are so nice to each other.
Oh, we love each other.
Man,
we...
it's all good. I mean, it's the whole racer's mentality.
Well, you know, we have to climb 8 stories to get here where we're at. We're 8 stories in the air. This is an 8-story tower that
Liz,
we are in Northport.
Liz, it's a story.
Well, Liz, we hold on just a sec.
Are you... What? What?
Liz, tell us about
they're trying to confer.
I got all
Jack.
Tangled up in my wires here. I'm sorry.
Hold on just a sec. Liz. Tell us about, like, give us just an overview of how things are going up there from, like, when you guys took over and how things are progressing at your track. What kind, you know, what's it like to come up there for a night? There's people all over the state listening to us who have never been to North Florida Speedway or haven't been in years. What's it like to come to your track?
Well, it's definitely complete 180. From when we bought it, you know, the boys have worked their butts off with doing grandstands, new bathrooms, the new track surface. We're almost got the backstretch done to where we're opening the tailgating part of it. And the classes actually, they've actually done a 180 as well because when we first started, you know, because there's been problems there before, and I think everyone was a little fishy when we came in, but I think we've proven ourselves, and the racers have turned out to be great people to us, and we got the ones that'll come out and work their butts off to help us get anything we need done for Saturday nights, and the racing itself is really good. We have great classes that race, so you definitely have to sneak out and see us. Very good.
How long have you owned that track, Liz?
It's been about a year and a half now. We got it last year, so we ran last season and then this season.
Have you ever had any regrets? I know it's
never.
Tough. It's a really tough business.
She was talking about in buying the track.
No. It's good. You know, it's like anything. It has its moments, but you just look at it as it's all worth it. because you make everyone happy and do the things that we do, and it's good. We enjoy it.
Liz, I'm kind of just searching all over your website right now. I also see you got coming up in September. You got a big street stock race coming up.
Yes, the boys, the officials, had put up a challenge because we had one night where there was a few different guys from different tracks. So they got all together and they decided they wanted to do a little challenge with the different street stocks from the different tracks. So hopefully that'll be a very good show. We've gotten quite a bit of calls and response about it, so I think it'll be a good turnout.
Yeah, it looks like you guys are kind of inviting everybody, just as long as they bring their rule books for their class from their home tracks.
Yes.
And everything. So that's going to be, what, 250 lap races, $4,000 to win?
Yes.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
What's the website there, Jason?
It is NorthFloridaSpeedway.com.
All right.
So you can find everybody there.
Definitely. And also next week, the 11th, we are doing our, we did it last year, but our backpack giveaway. So if there's anyone listening with kids, bring them out because we're giving away backpacks fully stuffed of all the school supplies you need for the year.
Oh, that's too cool.
What an awesome idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we did it last year. It was a great turnout. We actually got the sprint cars involved in that last year because they were there, and we had them go and pick a kid and give them their bike, let them take their picture. They got an autograph. It was a great deal. So we'll have the late models actually do it next week because we get a very good turnout of late models. Good group of guys, and they put on a great show.
What, how many laps does your late model feature, is it on a normal Saturday night?
20-25.
Is anybody filming there for you guys?
Filming?
Filming the races?
No, sir. We have a track photographer, but nobody films, no.
Well, if you ever get anybody that films races there, send us some video. I'd like to see some video of you guys' races going on there.
Why don't you just go up there and see the races?
Well, we're going to go.
Yeah, why don't one of you guys come out on
I'm
Saturday?
I'm telling you, Liz.
We're going to bring the whole team out there, and we're going to make Jack operate the video camera.
How big is that track, Liz?
It's 4/10.
Four tenths of a mile.
Yep.
So you guys up in North Florida have different ways of figuring, huh?
So
okay. I'm going by what the boys told me on that one, okay? I thought it was 3/8, and then I got corrected the other day. No, it's 4/10.
Oh, is it? I thought it was 3/8, too.
Then it's almost half, almost.
No, it's right off the interstate. It's what, like five, was it about four miles or five miles?
No, it's about 7-8 miles right off I-75. Okay.
So if you're coming north or south on I-75, what exit we got to get off of?
414.
Yep. That's up there. Yep. It's North Florida.
I'm on 197.
I think the Georgia line's on 415.
Over the years, Liz, you know, I've talked to people that, you know, work with the promotion of the Columbia Motorsports Park, which is right down the road from you.
Right.
The asphalt track. And, you know, some of the problems that we hear, like, that it's a tough area to promote. One thing I hear is economics, and you hear this and that, but it always seemed to me that speedway, that area right there, is in a great location because of your proximity to Georgia, Jacksonville, and the Panhandle. Have you guys found that to be true, or is it a tough place to promote?
It's very good. You're absolutely right. We get people from, just like you said, Georgia, Jacksonville. I mean, we got drivers from Tallahassee. We get some guys from Tampa. Yeah, we're actually, the past few times we've been written up in the Tallahassee newspaper and Georgia. So it's a very good location.
Yeah, I read the article. There was an article just recently in the Tallahassee paper that was absolutely wonderful.
Yes, they're taking very good care of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you almost be twisting some arms. Do you spend advertising dollars in that area?
No, I don't actually.
Wow.
I wasn't even aware. One of our racers actually put a post on our website, and that's how we found out about it. So, and they said that they've been doing it at least when we have the late model. So it's good.
Yeah, maybe you and Phil need to take that reporter out to dinner. He did a good job. That was a great article.
Just remember
We had a reporter out from, who was it? Georgia? Okay, yeah, Tallahassee a few weeks ago. So I guess that's who's been doing the write-up.
I mean, how's your car count been so far since you guys have taken over?
Good. We're getting anywhere from 19 to 23 late models, which is really good for us because when we first started, we were only getting like 4. So we've definitely done something good to impress them, which is very good because they, like I said, they're an excellent group of guys and they put on a really good show and the fans love them. Sprint cars, same thing. We're getting like 20, 23 of them.
Wow.
Our peers, we're doing same. They're high 20s, and then the rest of them are in the teens.
How's been your driver count out of the north, out of the state?
I'm sorry?
How's your driver count been from out of state? You getting a lot of guys? You getting a lot of guys coming down from Georgia?
At least all the I'm going to say 75% of the late models come from Georgia and Tallahassee, but everyone else is pretty much local, Jacksonville and Lake City and Ocala area.
That's cool. How often do you guys run the late models? Is that a weekly show or
No, we actually run them every other week, and we did that because we're the little fish in a big pond, so we didn't want to have to fight with anybody about that. So we kind of went off of Golden Isle's schedule, National Late Model Series, because Ray's a good guy, and we don't want to take from him or run, Golden Isle. So we kind of went off of their schedule, so it works to be like every other week.
Do you have the National Late Model Series come there?
We have not. Not yet.
Yeah. Maybe in the future?
Yes, definitely would like to.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good show.
I went to the RPM workshop in Reno last year, and a few of the guys introduced me to Ray, and then we went out and watched their show in Douglas. And so we would definitely, yes, in the future, like to bring them in.
It sounds like you're working really well with the tracks that are closer around you. Has it been working well with you?
Working well? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Are you working? Is it easy working with the tracks that are close around you, trying to not step on their feet? They're not trying to step on your feet. Have you guys been working together on that quite a bit?
Yeah, we try. Like I said, when we do our schedule in the beginning of the year, we kind of look at everyone else so we don't, like you said, step on anyone's feet because they've all been there before us. But it works. It seems to work out good. We haven't had any problems yet.
Cool. Because that's one thing the tracks down south have a hard time doing, and that's getting along.
Well, you're obviously doing something right because you got a heck of a good car count.
Yeah.
How's your fan base, the stands doing?
Really good. Really good. We have excellent fans. So it's a very good count.
Well, that's great. Doing something right up there.
Liz, what's been the hardest thing for you and Phil coming into this racetrack business?
I would probably have to say the whole proving to everyone that, we didn't come in to kind of beat them all up and do what previous owners have done. We bought it because we wanted to succeed, and so we can have another track in Florida to race that. So that's been the hardest thing, I would think, is just proving to everyone the businesses and everyone that, we're not going to kind of screw anyone over. So, and I think it's paid off for us because people are starting to come around and work with us and help us out. So it's definitely getting better.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no doubt that it's an improvement over some of the previous attempts at promoting and running that track because, and the reason I say that is you have definitely got the natives quieted down because there have been times where they've been more than restless.
Yes, they were, especially when we first came in. They weren't too happy, but they're happy with us now because we've done everything we told them we would do. So we definitely stuck by our word, and I definitely stayed on everyone too, so we didn't have any problems. So yes, they're very happy with us up there now.
Obviously, you're showing your drivers respect, and it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Liz,
that's
I want to thank
thing.
You so much for coming on the show tonight and giving us a little insight about North Florida Speedway, and we'd like to have you on again in the future.
Absolutely would love to, and we appreciate you guys thinking about us.
Now, you make sure you think about these two guys here that want to race
in
your track.
They had to put us in timeout. We were getting really excited. We're really excited about this. We just got to make the time to come up there and do it.
Yeah, we're going
to
make a date.
You guys are more than welcome. We'd love to have you.
And Liz, you could call us up any week. Call up Carol or call the show here live during the show if you got something you want to get out. You don't have to wait on us to call you. If you got something you want to get the news out, you just call us and you're welcome to just come on anytime.
Very good. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And the best of luck to you and Phil.
Yes, you guys have a good night.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bonehead. I'm going to kick your ass.
Hey, you know,
I thought this was a family show.
It is. Tomorrow.
You can't say kick, can you?
Yes.
Yes, you can say kick. Tomorrow night, oh my. Tomorrow night, Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill in Bradenton, Florida. We're going to be talking via telephone with an extended interview with David Ruderman.
Domino's calling.
Yeah.
Domino's is be the pizza of the night. And Buzzy Ruderman. The legend, living legend, Buzzy Ruderman.
The legend.
Wayne Ruderman, Jr. and Sr.
Cool.
Will be in the house with us live at the Snook River Grill. And due to Rick Angie's generosity, he's not charging anybody admission to come down and hang out with us.
What a good guy.
Wasn't he? I thought
I'm
that was magnanimous. You. He got in such a good mood over the Sunshine Speedway reunion deal that he said forego the charges this week. You can come down and hang out with Buzzy Ruderman.
Amazing.
For free. $25.05.
Well, anybody
Manatee.
That doesn't go is crazy because with us.
That's right. And they can meet Carol Wicks because she's going to be there.
I can't believe that Rick hasn't called me to ask me to help him do that interview.
$25.05 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton.
I am so looking forward to that because there's not a finer family than
there. If you haven't been there, go
there
for the food.
Yeah,
the
food's
food is
good.
Excellent there.
Yes.
Now, I still have 4 tickets for DeSoto Super Speedway. And I'm willing to give away 2 of those tickets if somebody calls us in the next 20 minutes and tells us as we go to commercial who
Wait a minute. Give them the phone number. They need the phone number.
941-228-8359 or 941-228-8359.
Okay. How about
or 941-423-7104.
Okay.
Or 941.
You're going to get everybody all number screwed up here.
Why don't you give them their choice of DeSoto Speedway tickets?
Because that's the only ones
Charlotte
I don't
County
have. Because I'm not giving them away to Charlotte
so
County.
So get
Speedway.
On it.
I'm giving them away to DeSoto Speedway. This is not the Charlotte County Motorsports Show.
Well, no,
thank
you could
you
give
very
them Bonehead.
This is
give
Inside
them
Florida
DeSoto
Racing.
Show.
Inside
DeSoto
Florida
Show.
Racing.
And tonight is we're talking about DeSoto
yes.
Super Speedway.
Here it is.
Right
ready?
Now.
Okay, so
you have to tell us who this person is.
If we do good this year, then maybe something will happen, and maybe we can get a late model or something. All the sponsorship. You got to have sponsors to do this kind of thing because it costs a lot of money. So as long as the money's coming in, we can move up. So we'll see what happens.
Change on the wings of the night.
Pink Floyd.
The
Turning Away on Inside Real Racing.
Inside Florida Racing. Inside you're going to get it. That's
I know.
You're
done.
On the Real Racing USA Network.
And do we have the ever-famous Punisher?
The Punisher is the in Punisher. The house.
You guys take it easy. Don't get excited.
Where's he at?
Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing. We're going to have some fun with you tonight.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mike, me and you have never met. This is Jason. Just wait. I got some questions for you, buddy. I've been reading a lot. You're the man I've been wanting to talk to.
Okay.
He's ready for you, Jason.
Yeah,
he ain't worried about you.
I'm going to let Carol kick this off. She was excited about you coming on.
Yes, if the average person that doesn't know Mike Crook reads the board, they're going to think he's some kind of a nut.
No.
Mike Crooks is a very intelligent man, and he's been racing for... How long have you been racing, Mike?
Oh, God. I'm going on seventh year now.
And if I'm not mistaken, did your father not race also?
Yes, he did. Way back in the day, started in jalopies at Sunshine Speedway and raced for a few years there. And then ended up being a pit crew for my uncle, who drove for quite a few years out there.
Because what was his name? What was your uncle's name?
Kevin Crooks.
I know your dad was really excited about that Sunshine reunion. It was fun watching him have fun.
Oh, he had no idea until the day before. I had other plans, and then I decided to go and brought him along and got to meet all the guys he told me about stories about from back in the day when he raced. So, yeah, he had a really great time.
I don't think he expected quite what he got, did he?
Not even close there. It touched him a few times there, seeing a lot of the old guys that he used to hang with and hasn't heard from in, 10, maybe 30 years.
Well, it touched me to see some of the old-timers be able to relive their racing experiences. That was one heck of a reunion. I can't even put it into words.
Oh, it was great. The only one thing, he kind of started hinting about jumping in my car to relive the days, and I kind of, tried to tell him nicely no.
tell them to read the board when people ask you if they can use your car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you kind of goof off a lot on there, but I read between the lines, and you're actually very intelligent, and I think you have an awful lot to offer the bomber division up there. Jason's got some questions he wants to ask you, and he's been waiting, so I'm going to let him have you.
You know, I don't have the true inside scoop of what's going on out there. I'm going off by what I've read on the message boards all over the place and talked to several of the drivers up there. When did things really start going south in the Bombers division at DeSoto?
What's that? I'm sorry. Couldn't hear you.
When did all the problems start happening in the Bombers division up there at DeSoto?
Oh man, just this year, you know, last few months. I don't know. I think a lot of it just the competition's gotten a little bit out of hand. Everybody trying to go for the points thing, just not getting along the way we used to. A lot of things come about, and I think it's getting better. We had a good show this last week with 14 cars, and we were down to I don't know 7 or 8 for a while there. A lot of people in their personal lives, things are changing. Some people moved up. A lot of turnover at the track right now in personnel and things changing. So I'm hoping we get it all lined up and, make a good run at the rest of the season, have some fun again. And got to the point that it wasn't even any fun and I wasn't even going to, keep doing this. And this week I had a little bit of fun and had a good finish, and I think everybody's getting along again.
Yeah, and Jason and I were just talking about that. The one thing you continually say on the board is quit your damn whining and get on with racing.
And race. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah. That's one of the things. The way I look at things, I don't know. Again, growing up with Dad and everything, and everything's a lot more old school. And if you see a guy that's beating you, you don't go crying about it to anyone that'll listen and attacking the track and everything. You just work on your car and try to get your car better.
Oh, my gosh, Mike. I was just saying that to some four-cylinder drivers a couple weeks ago. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, it's just,
I hope they're listening.
I don't know. It's the track's job and tech's job to try to catch you, and it's everybody else's job to push it as far as you can.
Exactly. I mean, I've noticed I come from an old-school racing family, and just with me getting back involved with it, I mean, hardcore with being an announcer and everything now and seeing all the ins and outs again and being around all the drivers, is it me or the drivers of today, and even maybe a few of the drivers that have been around a little bit, has there been more whining than ever before in racing?
Who knows? I mean, it's just like everything else. Whatever's publicized or brought out there, it seems like there's more. It's always been there. Is it really more or just more publicized or anything? I don't really know. It's just, it just seems you go through trends where, it seems like there's more than other times.
Well, a lot of it, too, is the Internet. We didn't have the availability, the place to whine. Now there's a message board at every track. And
it's not the driver's
whining. The
whining
hour brought to you by Karnak.com.
Yeah, that's
God, you got to love it.
All that did was just help promote all the fans and their whining that they do in between it, because most of the racers feel like, what the Punisher says here, and that is, he just wants to race. All the argument that goes on behind the scenes is mostly brought on by non-drivers anyways.
A lot of times, like the pits now, they're a lot more accessible. There's more of the wives, girlfriends, and kids in the pits now, and that kind of helps fuel fires sometimes. And egos and It gets out of hand sometimes, but then it all balances out. I mean, just like NASCAR and everything else that you see, they get a lot of things going on, and then they all calm down. So,
well, Sunshine, they used to not let you in the pits unless you were over 16, and there's a lot to be said for that, because sometimes in those pits, there's people that need to be cursed out. And you just can't do that when you've got kids
the
around.
Thing, that's something, especially with the Magic 4 class out there. They got to let the kids in there, but, the parents have to keep an eye on them, because there's been plenty of times that I've gotten pushed off the track, no motor going, so you don't hear it coming, kids running around, and, you try to be as careful as you can for, what you say, what you do and everything, but just from a safety issue, they really have to be aware that, the cars are out there.
Mike, you were talking about your dad and how he got involved in racing. When did you get involved? What did you start racing?
about 7 years now. You know, I was always I was really small when he raced. I think I was seven when he quit, and you know, we'd go to the track once in a while and see things. But I was always into the racing, and then yeah, about 7 years ago, I was supposed to be getting married, and that didn't quite happen. So I had a pocket full of cash and went and did the Richard Petty driving experience and loved it, and came back and bought a car.
I did that driving experience before.
How'd you get the name Punisher?
Well, I think that movie had already come out, and a friend of mine there, Jerome Watlin.
Oh, my gosh.
He had a car, and it was so beat up looking, and kept trying to talk me into taking it over and driving it with him. And I didn't want to really mess with it, because after Sunshine closed, I was pretty much done. Well, I was out there watching him one time at DeSoto, and someone kind of beat up on him a little bit, and I said, you know, I ought to bring that other car out and punish him. And being that the car was so beat up looking, we just spray painted a big Punisher head on the hood of it and brought it out there and started playing around and just kind of stuck.
That is so, so fitting. So
the
fitting.
Punisher, the Ramenator, the Mayor.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a name, and, you know, most of them you can actually say on the airwaves.
I remember last year the Bombers were probably the most popular class of anything anywhere around. You guys drew a crowd that was unbelievable. And how many cars did you have back then?
Oh, there was one race, I believe we had 25 cars. But I don't think we had below 18 or
Never.
17 for the whole season.
Did you come down to the Snook River Grill with those guys when we did the Bomber Night?
I sure did.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, see, now that's a difference in perspective. Fun versus interesting.
So. Fun is usually expensive. Fun's always expensive.
Well, I can't imagine the Bombers at DeSoto being anything but fun.
It usually is.
It is.
So with the name like the Punisher, have you ever done any figure eight racing yet?
No. Have no interest. I was actually the flag guy this week come around asking if any of us would be interested in doing something like that. And I'll tell you, figure eights are just something I never want to do.
It takes a special breed.
Carol started off this interview with a statement that Mike is an intelligent man.
Yeah.
He is.
I never did any figure eights either. I always...
Oh, so you're going to dump that thought, right?
No, I never ran figure eights. I let Red Van drive my car in figure eights.
Oh, okay.
And he tore it up less than I did in the ovals.
I think I'm behind the eight ball because I don't know this Van man. I probably know most everybody else.
You weren't from Sunshine. You were from
right.
here. If you were from Sunshine, you'd have known who he was. And
after last week, I wish I was.
Yeah, there's life outside of Charlotte County, actually, racing.
Oh, gee, I didn't think you knew that.
Oh,
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, when all these problems started happening with the Bomber class up there at DeSoto, I mean, you were talking about that. What are you guys doing over there? Sorry,
Carol's ragging on me.
Live radio, nothing like that.
Unbelievable. You were talking about the competition was getting so close and everybody being real competitive about it. But also, I saw some posts on the internet from the track owner that sounded like he was pretty displeased with everybody. He just really didn't care what you guys thought.
Hard to read them sometimes.
Yeah.
John Sapricone, hard to
you
read?
Don't know what to think. I've run into some hard luck this year with that and got suspended for a week and still didn't really comprehend the whole issue there. And, you know, you start thinking that there's favorites out there, then you say, no, it's just racing and things happen. So, you know, all you do is move on and keep on going.
Mike, what is a comparable car to yours at other tracks like Citrus or Auburndale or Charlotte? Like, are the Road Warriors or...
From what I hear, the Road Warriors, yes. Citrus, I believe it's like the Pure Stock division there.
Yeah, you're similar.
He's got a different name for them, and half of them are all the same.
You're similar.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you this. What kind of purse... Like, for winners and first, you know, and to show up and whatever, would excite the Bomber guys for a 100-lap race?
For a 100-lap race?
Ooh.
Assuming they had enough car count and everything, entry fee, like those big enduro races and stuff, probably, you know, I don't know, a couple, maybe $5,000 or something like that.
Are you kidding me?
No. I know the Romanator runs all those big enduro races. and that's where they get those big purses and those big car counts. For a regular bum, you know, Mike, I don't know, for 100 laps. You know,
hold on a second. What kind of car do you got? A 112-inch wheelbase car or a metric car? Which
thing.
Is it?
I know exactly.
It's a full-size Monte. Was 115-inch, I think.
112 wheelbase if it's a Monte Carlo like they used to run at Sunshine, right?
Yep.
Well, there's a class out there that you can be racing in. And not have to race at that other place.
No, that's not the point. That's not the point here.
I know what he's... His brother
went and raced at Kentucky Motor Speedway earlier this year.
Yes.
In Frank Kimmel's big stock street stock bomber race for...
I just read about that, right? Right.
Well, yeah, we had Frank on our show several times leading up to that race, and we talked to his brother, we talked to some other people. Well, I mean, you don't have to have $10,000 purse winner's share to race something like that, and you don't have to have Kentucky Speedway, but those kind of things draw attention to your type of racing. And quite frankly, I would rather watch, and so would a lot of other people, would rather watch some bomber type cars going three wide into the corners for 100 laps than watching 25 late models go out for 100 lap, you know, crash fest, because they can't crash. You guys know how to crash.
No, it's true. It's
they get so evened out that, you know, there's no passing, and it's just, you know, maybe one or two cars making any moves.
You know, that's funny that Jack had brought that up, because there was something I was going to bring up tonight, and I didn't. I sat at home today. I was sick from work, and I sat at home today and made up rules for a bomber-style type class, enduro-type class, for the whole state of Florida. And I was really, really bored. But I went and checked out some of the rules from Frank Kimmel's deal. I went and checked out some of the Renegade rules from Greenville Pick and Speedway in South Carolina. They have an annual enduro race that they run every year. It's not like an enduro that we run down here. It is a race. They have cautions. It is a race. They do 5,000 to win on a half-mile track, 450 laps.
What do you guys normally run to win on, say your 50-lap races? What do you run for to win?
That's double the purse, so it would be 300 to win.
300 to win?
Mm-hmm.
So that's for a 50-lap race?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So would you get interested in a race that had $2,000 to win 100-lap race?
Oh, definitely.
Well, there you go.
You know, and you know, the whole hard part though is that the track, you know, they keep the rules separate enough that it's hard to go from track to track or from, you know, different races.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm not talking about some kind of series. I'm just conjecturing one race that would be really cool, you know what I mean?
Fun.
One race.
That'd be great.
Oh, I've got a nice set
Who
of
would
rules
set the
up.
Rules for something like that?
Speaking to your microphone, bonehead. He goes, what would the rules be? Now, the
thing is, what I was trying to say is that...
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. It's like this.
I used to race street stocks.
I don't care what you race. The point is, it's very simple. It's like this. If you want to put on a race and you want to make it happen, you can find the rules package to make it everybody. If you want to be contentious and make a big issue out of it and make it difficult for everybody, you can do that. Not enough promoters work to make it right and simple.
That's my point.
What I'm saying.
Now, let me give my point that I'm going to say is that the cars themselves, if they have some kind of rule that, yes, you're not going to get the whole state to agree with one rule package for those. But
no,
my point, the reason why I bring up the outlaw street stocks is because I ran street stocks prior to running late models years ago. And let me tell you, every 50-lap race that they ever ran paid $500 to win. That's it. And they'd have 50 cars that would show up. So now you've got a guy out here that puts up the money. It doesn't matter who shows up. This guy puts up $1,000 to bring your 112-inch wheelbase car with an automatic transmission and a 450-lip cam with a two-barrel. He'll give you $1,000 to win. If I was owned a street stock, a bomber or whatever it is, I'd be at that guy's race because I used to travel to run a 50-lapper for $500 to win. So does that make sense, Punisher? If you've got a 112-inch wheelbase car and somebody's offering $1,000 to win, how come you're not there trying to take that money?
Yeah, that would be fun to do.
Why aren't you there trying to win that? Does your car not fit into their category?
I believe I'm actually a little underpowered compared to them.
A 450 lift cam and a two barrel.
I think it's compression rule. I don't know. I think I looked at the rules before, But, I mean, you know, like you say, for the money and everything, you could actually do it.
Yes, so that was his deal of trying to start a series. So, and what Jack was saying, there's a guy out there that's trying to do that. Now, Jason was talking about he's going to write a whole new set of rule book
class. This is for enduro.
Yes, he's got a bomber, though, not an enduro. Okay. He's got a bomber.
Right, but if you take the bomber rules from the different tracks all around the state, find out what they have. I've been going through them today. I've been really bored. And I also took some rules from out of state to try to bring cars in from out of state. And you could make a whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and then follow up Sunday with the big race. You know, you could have a whole weekend of racing.
What do you think, Mike? What do you think about that, Mike?
Sounds like it could be fun. You do it a couple times a year or something like that, or, you know,
yeah,
once a month or something.
Well, yeah.
Just an annual event.
You know, makes it available
event.
For people.
Yeah.
A guy's going to build a car just to run it once or twice a year is what you're saying.
No.
See, they might have to change a couple things.
So many race car drivers want to make this so freaking hard.
No, yeah. It's already done, though, and what it is you guys are trying to make another race car.
No, it's not.
No, I'm not trying to make another race car.
Frank Kimmel put on this race. Guys did not have to go build a special car for this race. The whole point of it is you take what people already have and you put it together in a way so that it works, and you could draw a lot of cars and put on a show. Now, what happens in Florida is people like to confuse and think make things very complicated, and then when somebody does come up with a good idea, like school bus racing, the next thing is, let's run them every other friggin' week,
right.
And let's burn
and
people out
ruins
on it,
it,
and then
it ruins it,
like some of these promoters are doing now.
Yes.
The biggest show draw in Florida right now, since the late models, quite frankly, have been stinking up the shows, okay, over a lot, and even the big names will admit to that, okay, this is no big secret, is the TBARA. TBARA is the most successful draw in Florida stock car racing for real racing, okay? What are they doing? They're starting to put, instead of scheduling two or three times, they're piling them up six, seven times, and they're going to burn out their audiences, and those things are going to quit drawing. So, you know, one race is a year. Like, how many big races does Five Flag Speedway have a year?
Probably one, two.
One. Exactly.
What kind of race is it?
Snowball Derby, for God's sake.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're not talking about bombers. Okay?
We're talking about bombers
now. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about bombers. So if you're going to have two races a year with an enduro or a bomber, which is it going to be in your rules, Jason? Is it going to be an enduro or is it going to be a bomber?
No, it's tell me the difference between an enduro car, a bomber car, and a pure stock car.
I can. An enduro car,
exactly,
okay, is supposed to be. Yes, I can. An enduro car, per the rules that they used to be, was a stock car that had a boat tank in the back seat, and you couldn't change the springs. You couldn't change the carburetor. It had to run exactly what was on that car. That's an enduro. The bomber is that same car, but with some roll cage inside of it and a different motor packet. Some different wheels, you know, some tires. So that's what I was saying. In your rules that you were going to have, what was going to be the difference? Am I talking too much for you guys?
No, because
what?
I'm...
No. Mike.
Oh, okay. I can't ignore you when you turn my microphone off.
I'm getting confused because everybody's going in a different direction right now. Am I not correct in assuming that you want to put together a one-time race for a class like the Bombers with a $1,000 purse? I just don't get where you're...
With a $10,000 purse is what he wants to do, probably.
I'm trying to get an answer from Mike. How would we go about getting this thing together? Mike?
Come up with sponsors and money to start, and then just make some rules. Don't ask the drivers and don't ask the teams what they want. Just lay something out there.
God,
no matter what, we won't be happy.
That's what I was trying to get to, but I didn't know quite how to word it.
I like pure stock stuff. Pure stock, exactly like it comes. That way, every Joe Blow that's out there that can go to the junkyard and buy a car, he could race in it. I'd be into seeing something like that.
See, what a lot of people don't realize, I don't think, Mike, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm asking Mike this. It's very there's an easy way, and there's a very inexpensive way to take your bomber style cars, your renegade style cars, your road warrior style cars, and come up with a rule package that can benefit each three of those for a one-time race deal, for a once-a-year thing. Yes or no?
I think so. I don't think they're that far different. I think everybody's got a little something that, you know, each track lets them do, but I think that it wouldn't be, you know, that big a deal to make them where it's a level playing field.
I know what will level them up. Tires.
Oh, yeah.
Tires. Little skinny tires with tall sidewalls will level up the playing field. It doesn't matter what motor you bring in that car. Doesn't matter what car you bring. If you put it on little tiny tires, we can have us a race for $10,000 to win.
Well, now, don't take away my nice expensive RSA tires.
Sorry. They're going to be about 5 or 6 inches tall and about 4 inches wide. They're going to be taller than they are wide.
We're going to make all the drivers run big old swampers.
Well, you know, really, if you want to equal it up, Mike, that's what's going to have to be done. And I would never be opposed to seeing that and run like a real race where you start it and then you stop it if you have cautions or something, because that enduro stuff gets kind of crazy.
Good bomber racing. What do you call it? Bomber street stocks. Some places they call them enduros. Whatever you call
jalopies.
Them. Those kind of racing, when you have good fields on a regular basis,
yes,
will draw as consistently as late models or super late models.
They'll draw it better.
It's fun.
They'll draw it better.
Thank you very much.
Because
well,
they can crash. And
counting, you got a lot of action going on front to rear all through the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you race for $10,000 to win. It's going to be a draw. And there's 10,000 up there. You're going to have a bunch of people, and you're going to have a bunch of crashing and a melee, and people know that. Fans know.
I like racing, and that's door handle to door handle, bumper to bumper, and the only way you can get that anymore is with the bomber classes.
Where are you in points right now?
Oh, I'm sitting in third right now.
Third. Who's first and second?
First is Scott Dolly in the 74, and then second is Rick Germoni in the 8 car.
Oh.
Do you call him Jabroni?
I don't call anybody anything. That would be wrong to do. I've got all kinds of names for everybody, and I'm sure they got them for me.
Yeah, people call me Bonehead, though. It doesn't bother me.
Well, listen, Mike, it's been so much fun having you on the show tonight. We'll have to do this again, and we'll work on that big bomber race.
Yeah, let me know where it's going to be. We need to get cars ready for them.
Yeah, because I tell you what, because I can remember
we don't even know yet.
We had enduro races with 200-plus cars showing up. We need to have bomber races like that once again.
The idea would be, Mike, that your car that you have right now will be good enough.
Oh,
that'll be the idea. You won't have to build
more tweaks to do somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mike, we've got to close the show tonight. We're running way over. I saved you for last because I wanted you to have plenty of time to talk to us.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks
thank
a lot,
you,
Mike.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Have
Sounds
a great
good.
Night.
Y'all have a good evening.
All right. You
good
too.
Night.
Good luck in your championship. Let the rough side drag, man.
Thank you.
And good night to everybody from...
Hold it. What are you
no,
talking
no,
about?
No, no, no.
We got to talk about we got to talk about this run with your okay. Brung Enduro Let's... bomber class.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
No, we're not going to do all that. But we do need to go around. And what else? Closing?
Well, that's what I wanted to close with. I
well,
like your idea.
We're not going to have a 15-minute talk about it right
no,
now.
I like your idea, though. I think it's a good idea. And, Jason, you just come up with the rules to where everybody can race and stick them on small tire, and I'll come watch it.
I like the idea with the small tire. I did not think of that. That's something else I'm going to add into it. And, you know, bomber racing is grassroots racing. It's where everybody got their start. It was either go-karts, midgets, whatever. But bomber racing, I mean, you know, when we see all the old footage on television – it was these old jalopies. They went down, bought a new car for $500, or they had their Hudson Hornet or something like that. They knocked the windshields out of them. They knocked the headlights out of them, and they went racing. And that's what these bomber-style cars are. You know, you throw a roll cage in it, do a little work to your motor, you take the glass out of it, you put your Lexan in it, you go racing. And that's the thing. It's fun. It's fun, inexpensive racing.
Sounds good.
And everybody go to the Karnak message board and check out all the links
Heck
at the top and
board.
Find out what's going on at your local track. I don't care whether it sucks or not. That's where I live and I'm
go
talking
to the
now.
Front page of Karnak
I
and get the real
I am speaking
news.
Now. Get all the latest information what's
sucks.
Going on at your local track and
tomorrow night.
Support your local track.
Tomorrow night, David tomorrow Rudiman night. And the whole Rudiman
at the
clan.
Snook River Grill.
Snook River Grill.
Yes.
And you know, coming up on the 29th or 25th, is it the 25th?
Which one is it, Jack?
What would be the last Saturday in August?
11th, 18th, 25th.
You need a calendar in this thing.
I have 25th. One. It's right there. But you know what?
25th.
There is a super late, there is a super late, super late model race coming up at Columbia Motorsports Park on that weekend. in August, and it is a memorial race for Patrick Williams. Cecil Williams.
Awesome.
The Cecil Williams Memorial. It's going to be that weekend, the last weekend in August. Scott McAllister will be with us at the Snook River Grill tomorrow, co-hosting with Rick and I, and he will have more details about that race. And Inside Florida Racing is going to go a little bit extra on this one and help promote that race because those people deserve the help, and it's a great deal. And, you know,
I agree with that.
It's a good thing to do, so we're going to do that.
Oh, man.
Bring your friends up to the Snook River Grill or tune in on...
I'll go racing if I can get some tires.
Hey, real quick.
You got the wrong body.
Real quick.
No, not for there. They'll let me race it there.
If anybody listening knows Jack Duffy, when you see that old man, give him a pat on the back because he is one hardcore racer. Jack Duffy kind of rolled his little TQ midget over this weekend. They rolled him back over, and he says he wasn't getting out of the car. Push start me, and they couldn't get it started back up, and he was so mad about that. But I tell you what.
76 years old.
Jack Duffy. Oh, I love you, old man.
I bet you Buzzy knows him well. You have to ask Buzzy about Jack.
That was
They're probably old
else.
Racing buddies.
If you got questions for Buzzy, you can put him on that old stinking message board.
Okay, I'll take care of the old stinking message board. Don't worry about that.
The old stinking message
board.
Anything
else?
You just keep it up there, and we'll take care of it.
It's like Don Nerone said, it's just the bathroom.
So are me and Jason invited to crash your little party tomorrow?
Absolutely. We hope
and
you
ask
come.
Any questions.
We hope you come. We hope you come. Okay. I think you should come. We got a whole bunch of people coming. It's going to be fun.
Well, I wish I had a nice shirt like you have.
I'll get you one. I'll get you one.
You know, yeah. So I could feel like I'm affiliated with something.
I'll get you one.
Because I've got a face for radio.
Open that bag right there. Open that bag right there.
I have a face for radio. Not everybody knows who I am.
Open that bag right there.
Which one?
Carol,
the blue
say
bag?
Goodnight. Jason, say goodnight.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Before we go.
Open that bag
before
right
Before we
there.
Go.
Right there.
And the man said it himself, and that's the Punisher. Okay?
Yeah.
Shut up. And race.
Okay.
Yeah,
open that bag right there.
I want to thank all of our guests this evening. Thank you so much for making it an interesting night. And we look forward to talking to you all again next Monday night from 7 to 9 on Inside Florida Racing.
Who's on next week?
Surprise, surprise. I'll let you know in the middle of the week. Check out the Karnak message board.
5-star race.
Good night, everybody, and thank you so much again.
Hey, this is Bonehead. I'm out. See ya!
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu. Day. I hear the voices rising, starting with a whisper like it did before. Day by day, we count the dead and dying, ship the bodies home while the networks all keep scoring.
Gonna do the St. Pete Boogie. Have some fun, you all. We gonna do the St. Pete Boogie. Have some
some fun, you all. Go down on Central Avenue, drink some alcohol. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have a ball. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have a ball. Down the south side of town, yeah, in some hole in the wall, I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. To do the St. Pete Boogie, I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping, hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Cruising all round downtown. You know the cops are mine.